The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
In Australia, the government has implemented total lockdowns nationwide and then imposed martial law to enforce those lockdowns. What's the justification for this? Well, here are the numbers. From mid-July until last week, the entire nation of Australia, that's 25 million people, has averaged about 1.5 COVID deaths per day out of 25 million people. And that has been enough to justify the end of Australia and totalitarianism. In one recent case, which really does say it all, authorities executed rescue dogs, shot the dogs to death to prevent Australian dog lovers from traveling to adopt the dogs. Leaving your home is no longer allowed. So they just killed the dogs. And the population put up with it. They were told they had to.
That's from Tucker Carlson's show last evening. We had a little bit to say about the pure insanity in Australia right at the tail end of yesterday's program. And we're going to get into that. The attack continues. The madness continues, yes. But really, following on everything else we've been covering of late with Afghanistan and such, this is an attack on Israel. Satan's attempt here to blot out even the name of Israel, as it says over in 2 Kings chapter 14. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly thank you for joining us on today's show. We're thankful, too, for our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that network that takes the audio-only version of this program into 11 million homes. That plays live every day on CRN at whatever time zone you happen to be in the United States. It's 11 a.m. each weekday morning on the Central Time Zone, and at noon on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Today in the program, we'll certainly update you on some of the latest developments in Afghanistan. Reports, like you heard there at the top of the hour, that just 4,000 Americans out of possibly 15,000 have been evacuated. And then you've got U.S. officials now meeting secretively with Taliban leaders, begging for safe passage. This is where we are in 2021. This is where we are after 20 years in the war against terrorism. 20 years on, and now we're groveling at the feet of these Taliban officials, hoping that they'll let the Americans go. Pretty amazing developments. If we have time today, hopefully we can squeeze in we'll have some scriptures to point out here in the first segment as well. So a bit of a Bible study at the tail end of this segment, but hopefully more as well in the second segment. So on August 23rd, that's yesterday, Australia had 45,000, almost 46,000 cases of COVID. And that's over the course of this pandemic. So about a year and a half, 45,734 cases, as you can see there from the graphic, and 984 deaths. Over the course of 18 months, Tucker there broke it down into about 1.5 deaths on average per day. That's not very many. That's not very many. It's a nation of 26 million people. So there's 38 COVID deaths per 1 million people. It's one of the lowest rates in the world. Let me just repeat that. It's one of the lowest COVID death rates in the world. That's 38 per 1 million people. Just to give you a comparison, Australia's suicide rate is 130 per 1 million people. So there's far more people dying because of suicide, heart disease and those things. I mean, that's I guess you would say off the charts compared to COVID. But all it takes in Australia, New Zealand actually literally closed it all down for one case, not even one death, just one case of it. But these officials, these deranged thinking officials, leading Australia, leading New Zealand, they somehow think that if we do this, if we push the vaccine, if we tell everybody to lock down, then we'll end up eradicating this disease entirely. We'll get to a point where there's zero cases of COVID. Some of them really think this. COVID is not a dire threat to Australia. Never mind what Australian officials are saying. There are, as we played on a soundbite the other day, there are much greater threats facing our nations. This is an attempt, an audacious attempt at that, coming from the devil, to just blot out the name of Israel. Here we're coming up to, so many of God's people, we're coming up to the fall festival season, the Feast of Tabernacles. I was talking to one Australian gal just the other night, talking about the difficult situation her folks are in down in Australia as they try to prepare to just keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's looking like more and more of God's people are having to do that in their homes, not together with others of like mind, not together with others in God's family, but just off to themselves. Tucker Carlson, in that segment from last night, he said that you switch on the local news in Australia, and it looks like it's something out of a science fiction film. Listen to this local report, and not just what's covered in the report, but even the way that it's reported. This is clip one.
Among the most concerning cases, a COVID patient who's tonight on the run from a hotspot. Police and health authorities have issued an urgent appeal.
Anthony Karam knows he is COVID positive when he steps into this public lift, already breaking so many rules he doesn't bother to cover his mouth as he sneezes and splutters. The 27-year-old is still infectious but has gone missing from his Wentworth Point apartment, a warrant now issued for his arrest.
This 27-year-old chap, who apparently has expressed the view that he doesn't care less whether he spreads the virus, is one example of the worst of the worst.
Guilty of sneezing and splattering in an empty elevator. This is, stay home. If you're sick, God's church has always said quarantine yourself out of love for other people. Of course he should. But to just show you where we are, a nationwide manhunt for someone with the flu in a nation that has one of the lowest COVID death rates in the world? I'm sure it helps in Australia, the fact that they see so much sunlight and that there's quite a few months out of the year that are fairly warm. I'm sure that helps to fend off some of these kinds of diseases. But nevertheless, here are health officials. If it's 1.5 per day, that's far too many. Never mind what the lockdowns do to people and their livelihoods. Never mind the deaths that are caused by lockdowns. Never mind the deaths that are caused by the vaccines. It's just COVID. It's just sneezing. We've got to lock that down. And then the way that they expose these people on national television, chasing them around with cameras to just let everyone know he broke the rules. This 27-year-old man, he broke the rules, the new rules put in place by health officials. Here they are just abandoning all of the freedoms that we once enjoyed. And it's not as bad in the UK or the United States, but we're certainly, if Joe Biden was allowed to do everything he wished he could do, this is the direction that they want to take the nation in, the entire nation. Here's a little bit more from that local report, clip two.
There's little sympathy for anyone ignoring the health orders, even this group of teenagers caught partying after dark at the bottom of the North Bondi Cliffs. Herded to higher ground by Polair's spotlight and speaker, the eight boys were placed in handcuffs and left to explain a $1,000 fine to mum.
681 penalty infringement notices issued in the last 24 hours. More than 400 of those notices were again for people being outside of their home without a reasonable excuse.
They should have just said they were going to a BLM rally. That's a reasonable excuse. All those same officials, that official right there, that law enforcement agent right there, I bet he's on record sometime or another last year defending free speech when BLM turned up. Then it's okay. Then we've got rights, you know. People have to be able to declare their rights. They've got to be able to have free speech. But certainly not now. Of all the sins of young people today, eight of them handcuffed and arrested for being outside. That's what's happening in Australia. And yet you look last summer at the wave of destruction right here in the United States and all over the world too. A wave of destruction spearheaded in a lot of ways by the young people. And then all the other problems facing our young people today. And many of them self-inflicted, a lot of it having to do with no parental authority really over them. And this is what they get nabbed for. One more bit from that segment in Australia, clip three.
It's getting harder and harder to hide if you're doing the wrong thing, especially in the construction industry, a crackdown following on from the recent shutdown. Workers sent home if their paperwork isn't in check.
It is a struggle, but it's it's just what has to be done. Like, nobody likes telling people to go home. They've all got families to feed.
Our camera's rolling on another random blitz in Marsden Park.
Authorising me under the Public Health Act.
Inspectors have asked these tradesmen to show proof of their QR check-in as well as identification and vaccination records. One of the men here is from Campsie and he doesn't have his documentation, so he's being sent home.
Wow, and the cameras followed that guy right out to the car, put him right on national TV. He didn't have his vaccine papers. The cameras were rolling. And the reporters, I guess they just love it. Not one ounce of skepticism, or maybe there's government overreach here. None of that even finds its way into the report. None of it. He's breaking the rules. Not an ounce of sympathy for him. The health director has established a decree. And everybody just has to go along with it. There was a case, Sam mentioned this to me, this individual that was leaving his area, his place of residence. He's later charged and sentenced to 8 months in jail for planning an unauthorized rally. That would be one of those rallies from this past weekend, Sydney, Melbourne. I mean, it happened just like that. 8 months, he's going to jail. These authoritarians, it's like with the Jan 6 so-called insurrection. If they can get around the Constitution by just leaving them in jail until their trial and then delay the trial, they'll find a way to lock you up. Now, we've got the Bill of Rights here in the United States. It's a little bit harder to get around it, but they're doing it. And then Australia, I mean, arrested and sentenced in one day? Yes, indeed. All for what? Well, we've got to get it down to zero. Zero COVID. This is from The Spectator. It says, in truth, the big problem with zero COVID is that there's no exit strategy. The virus isn't eliminated. It just keeps on circulating at low levels. It says, while that is true, the borders have to remain closed, and there are repeated lockdowns to stop infections running out of control. I mean, if it's at a low level, look, we got to still keep things locked down just because it could get to a high level. That's the thinking. 18 months on, a year and a half later, says lots of experts have been lecturing us for repeated lockdowns to stop infections running out of control. Lots of experts have been lecturing us for the past 16 months that there was no trade-off between health and the economy, and that zero COVID would be better for output in the medium term. It says Australia is about to show that it isn't really the case. Zero COVID will take a huge economic toll and may last for years. the impact, the devastating impact of this. It's just going to go on and on and on. The government can't just keep printing off money and paying people to stay home indefinitely. There comes a point when it all comes crashing down. All of our nations, and that's what your Bible prophesies, that's the thing, is that so much of this sickness that you read about in Isaiah 1, it's self-inflicted. Now, an attack is soon coming from without, but this is an attack from within. America's under attack, and so is Australia, and so is Canada, and so is the United Kingdom. Notice this. This is another local report from Australia, clip 4.
A tip to Crime Stoppers has blown the lid on a church service at Blacktown, attended by 60 adults and children. The gathering has been described as selfish and arrogant as cases in the suburb surged.
We declare that lockdowns are over in the name of Jesus. Lockdowns are over in the cities of New South Wales.
It's unclear what passage this pastor is preaching from, but it's not the public health order.
It's not the public health order. Notice the snide remark there from the reporter. Not sure what Bible passage he's referring to, but the health order is being violated. And so in come the police, and they're slapping down fines all over the place. Thanks to a neighbor who tipped them off. 60 people! 60 people can't even get together for a church service. Carrying on, here's clip 5.
His church, the Christ Embassy in Blacktown, is in lockdown. Hard lockdown. And some of the 60 people sprung at a service last night had travelled from other hotspots, including Fairfield, Liverpool and Canterbury Bankstown. Neighbours calling Crime Stoppers after seeing at least 3 gatherings in the past week.
Accidents happen, but if you're going to willfully breach the acts, then I think you're doing the wrong thing and you should be stopped.
Oh, the Chinese party and the CCP, they'd be ecstatic at that. Neighbors turning one another in. That's what happens in China. That's what happens in communist countries. This is the new Australia, you could say. The Australian police state. Martial law, as Tucker said there in his segment last night. That's what they're having to impose to enforce this. That's how that you can arrest someone and send them off to prison in the same day. Here's another bit from that segment, clip 6.
There was no QR code on the door, costing the organisation $5,000. Each of the 30 adult worshippers fined $1,000.
Whether it's a soccer match, whether it's a church service, it doesn't matter. You cannot gather as they did at Blacktown.
Live streaming of sermons is allowed, but according to the rule book, only 2 people can sing or chant.
You can go ahead and live stream, but in the image or what the video is capturing, there can only be 2 people, and they've also violated those rules. There have been shots of entire choirs. There have been shots of the pastor and a few people behind him. I mean, this all violates the rule book, the COVID rule book. One last bit from that local report, clip 7.
Across the rest of Blacktown, residents are limited by the harshest restrictions. The suburb again named in the heart of the outbreak, with 100 cases in 24 hours. The only locals on the streets today were getting tested or jabbed. The mayor's so furious, he's considering his own action.
And then I didn't include that bit. You've got the local level, you know, you've got the state level, you've got the federal level, the state level. The mayor is furious as well. He's gonna see, if the law allows it, I'm going to crack down as well. I'm going to fine you as well. That's the thinking from top to bottom. That's what passes for leadership. Leadership in Israel today. Leadership that imposes its will on the ordinary plebs. Even as, well, like you saw at some kind of a festival in Northern California, Nancy Pelosi with all of her donors all of her wealthy contributors, not one of them wearing a mask, just like Tucker pointed out in his segment last night. All the servants, the colored people, basically, they're serving the rich white people. They're masked up because Nancy Pelosi has established that as a rule. But she doesn't have to wear one. Gavin Newsom, he doesn't have to wear one. Cuomo, you just go right down the list. The hypocrisy. These people forcing their will. It's a power grab. It's authoritarian. It's tyrannical. It's a massive government overreach that we're not accustomed to seeing in Israelite nations. But it's happening. America under attack. Listen to all of these, to use Tucker's words, these leading lunatics, and just how almost gleeful they are that they can lower the boom on the populace and impose these kinds of lockdown restrictions. Here's an example from New South Wales, clip 9.
To anybody planning to breach public health orders and attend an illegal mass gathering this weekend, our message is clear. Don't do it. We cannot underestimate how dangerous you will be putting the New South Wales community into it.
That was from last week. And then, of course, there were protests over the weekend. And the reaction to that, all of these law enforcement officials, here's a police chief, again, giving the same warning and telling how many policemen were going to be out in force over the weekend. Clip 10.
Police have previously indicated that we are not opposed to free speech. We are absolutely opposed to a protest that potentially jeopardises the freedom of the vast majority of the community who continue to do the right thing. We also are absolutely opposed to a protest that allows people to gather and in doing so has the potential to risk the health and safety of the majority of the community. Police, in monitoring that information, have planned a significant police response for this Saturday. There will be in excess of 1,000 police officers available.
And so they came out in full force with the pepper spray, the rubber bullets, and beating people in the streets. People wondering, what did I do? What law did I break? I'm outside. They weren't there with that kind of a crackdown last summer during the BLM riots. They just gave space for them. But here they are. Listen to this premier of Victoria, clip 11.
There will be no removal of masks to consume alcohol outdoors. So you will no longer be able to remove your mask to drink a cocktail at a pop-up beer garden on a footpath as part of a pub crawl.
I guess that's all part of the rule book as well. Can't remove your mask outside, even to take a drink, even to sip from a glass of wine. On a footpath, nowhere. You've got to keep that mask on at all times, except if you're me giving this public address. I'm speaking for him, by the way. Maskless, as so many of them are. Here's another one. This is an Australian official cautioning citizens to, well, telling them if they can to even avoid shopping online. You would think that if you're locked down all the time, that shopping online is about your only avenue to keeping things moving with your livelihood. But listen to this bit of wisdom. This is clip 8.
Please, when you open your front door, just think for a moment, do you really need to go out? And also, and I'm a great online shopper, could you think about whether you need to do online shopping this week? Do you need those people out in the community delivering packages and things?
Don't shop online because of the delivery people. So there's another element to this. Everything needs to be locked down. You can't go out of the house, and you shouldn't really shop either, even if online. Listen to the New Zealand premier. She, like Tucker said, she had her nation go into lockdown because of one case of COVID. The entire nation, not a death even, but just one case of COVID. And here she is lecturing the people of New Zealand. Clip 12.
Stay local and do not congregate. Don't talk to your neighbours. Please keep to your bubbles. It comes down again to those very simple principles. We know from overseas cases of the Delta variant that it can be spread by people simply walking past one another. So keep those movements outside to the bare minimum, wear a mask, and make sure you keep up that physical distancing.
Stay inside. Keep to your bubble. Don't talk to your neighbor. Really healthy activity, isn't it? Think of the sickness. Going beyond this physical disease, the flu, think about the spiritual sickness described in Isaiah 1 and elsewhere. And look at how these policies, these draconian policies, are contributing to that ill health. This is from The Spectator. It says, the notion that we could literally stop the spread of COVID by locking down and vaccinating it out of existence was always a fantasy. As National Geographic recently noted, only two diseases in recorded history that affect humans or other animals have ever been eradicated. It says every other virus, from Ebola to influenza to the bubonic plague, still exists among us. We've just learned how to live with them and to control them as best we can through inoculation, preventative measures, and treatment for those who get sick. That's just been the way that this human civilization has fought against disease for so many years, so many centuries. But now it's very different as you see these radicals using this pandemic as a weapon, using it to hurt our nations, using it to attack political opponents, using it to steal an election, using it to introduce tens of millions of mail-in ballots so that there can be rampant cheating. These are some of the scenes from Australia over the weekend as protesters took to the streets, and law enforcement did not like that at all. The crackdown. Tucker Carlson, he showed some of this last night and said, you know, if we were watching this and knowing it came out of Russia or China, it would be shocking in and of itself. But the fact that it's coming out of Australia, the fact that it's coming from an Israelite nation, Joel Hilliker gave a message here locally a few days ago. He went through these verses in Isaiah 10. Let me just read them to you. Verse 1 of Isaiah 10 says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that right grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, and widows, that the widows, it says, may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. They're abusing those that are disadvantaged. That's what it amounts to. And verse 3 says, and what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? This COVID zero elimination strategy, it's just insanity. It's impossible. It's impossible in the world that we live in. Again, this is not God's world by any means. But given what we're in at the moment, to aim for this kind of a goal, so unrealistic, impossible through and through. And yet many are charging ahead with that as the objective, and it's leading to our demise. All these Israelite nations, this is from the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, Mr. Armstrong said, do you think so great a fall could not come to so great powers as Britain and America? Do you say it can't happen here? Do you think the great God who was able to give them such unprecedented world leadership and power and wealth is not able to take it away from them and throw them like their ancient forefathers back into slavery? Do you think the God who gave us unprecedented world leadership, do you think he can't take it away? Well, read Isaiah 3. Read the first few verses of Isaiah 3 and see what is happening. There are no righteous leaders today. God has taken away the wise, the prudent, the mighty man of war. And he's replaced them with some of the ones that you've seen in the sound bites today, issuing these decrees that really do hurt people. It says here, you need to open your eyes to the fact that Britain's sun already has set. You need to wake up to the fact that the United States, even still possessing unmatched power, is afraid, fears to use it, just as God said, I'll break the pride of your power. And we see that pride in our power broken in Afghanistan. As U.S. diplomats, groveling before Taliban officials, begging for safe passage, begging for the safety of Americans, when the United States has all of this power, you would think the Taliban would be shaking in their boots. But not so. Not so. They're releasing announcements saying, look, you better get out by August 31, or there's going to be consequences. Here comes the Biden administration, hoping again to use COVID as another massive distraction. The fake president, he's out yesterday giving another speech. It was all strategically planned. You've got the FDA saying, yeah, we've approved Pfizer. Yeah, this is what we've been waiting for. This is what the Biden administration pushed for. An early announcement. They were applying pressure. They had to get this. Look, he's under fire because of Afghanistan. So we got to get the FDA to approve this, and then we'll carry on with the COVID message. COVID, COVID, COVID. You got to mask up. You got to get the vaccine because the disease is spreading. It's spreading because you're letting all kinds of COVID positives into the country. You're flying them in from overseas. You have wide open borders at the south. Listen to Joe Biden from yesterday, clip 14.
So let me say this loudly and clearly. If you're one of the millions of Americans who said that they will not get the shot until it has full and final approval of the FDA, it has now happened. The moment you've been waiting for is here. It's time for you to go get your vaccination and get it today. Today. It's an important moment in our fight against the pandemic. The FDA approval is the gold standard. And as I just said, now it has been granted. Those who have been waiting for full approval should go get your shot now.
Full approval, the FDA, that's the gold standard. Of course, the FDA would never be politicized like every other government agency. They were pressured to announce it yesterday, to announce it a lot earlier than usual. In most other cases, years earlier. They got to get the FDA approval. And then here comes Joe Biden saying, hey, now that you know it's safe, go get the shot. Go get the jab. And this same administration is now pressuring businesses to do the same things that they're doing in Australia. If you don't get the vaccine, you don't belong in society. You need to stay home. You need to be locked down permanently. Using this, again, just like they used it in the summer months last year, to get this fraudulent machine in motion, the steal of the century with respect to the election. And now here is Joe Biden coming under fire, finally, for the disaster that he caused in Afghanistan. Yesterday, the White House press secretary, the propagandist in chief, she corrected a Fox reporter for saying that these Americans are stranded. And you've got ABC, Axios, CBS, CNN, all of these stories talking about stranded Americans. And here's the White House press official saying, I take exception with the fact that you say they're stranded. They're not stranded. Well, they're just enjoying their life in Kabul. It's perfect. How could you say they're stranded? The Taliban tell us that they have safe passage to the airport. This is from the New York Post this morning. Here again, there's a fair bit of dissent, even in the Democrat Party, unusually so, because of what Biden has done in Afghanistan. And that would suggest that his days are numbered. The New York Post says that Adam Schiff, we know about him. He was leading the way. President Trump, remember, he made a phone call and he got impeached for it. We're certainly not going to impeach Biden for the disaster that he caused in Afghanistan. But they may run him out of office at some point to get Kamala in there. This is all Obama's doing. The Antiochus spirit is strong. Joe Biden is now disposable, as I've said. It says here, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff said it was very unlikely that the U.S. completes its evacuation in Afghanistan by the August 31 deadline. Schiff said, I think it's possible, but I think it's very unlikely given the number of Americans who still need to be evacuated. It's hard for me to imagine that all of that can be accomplished between now and the end of the month. If there's something like 11,000 still there, and they are stranded, it's worse than that. They're trapped. And here you've got Jen Psaki saying, don't say they're stranded. Come on. They're enjoying their lives in freedom. They're safe. Everything's okay. Everything's not okay. They're in danger. And so many of these press reports interviewing people that are trapped there, they are crying out for help. Will the government of the United States be there for them in the end? We're going to see in just a few short days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send any and all comments to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
In Richard's news stack today, there's a Telegraph piece. The Washington elite have turned on Biden. It says, watch out for the Harris presidency. I mean, this just follows on what we covered yesterday with that Tucker Carlson segment, what I mentioned there even at the end of the last segment. Adam Schiff, he's now peeling away from Biden's people, or at least criticizing them. You've got a few remaining diehards like Jen Psaki who are standing up and lying, just like Joe Biden lies. It doesn't look like they're ready to just walk away from the position. But as the Telegraph brings out, Richard made the point that it's one thing for Tucker Carlson to say that here in the United States, but to see this in a British newspaper, it's pretty unusual. It's somewhat shocking. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 19, I mentioned this coming out of SEP, our summer educational program a few weeks ago, this tremendous attitude that the prophet Samuel had, even as a youth, that he just didn't want to let any of God's words fall to the ground. He wanted to consume every bit of it, all of God's truth. Think about Matthew 5 and Jesus saying that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I spent some time yesterday in a class just talking about how we've got to be nourished up on the words of God, on the truth of God. And we're coming into some pretty dark times for our nations. You hear a lot about that in segment one of this program. And what we need to light up our lives, like it says in Psalm 119, is God's truth, God's word. What we need to be healthy and strong spiritually is the truth of God. We need to dine on that manna from heaven, the spiritual manna, as Jesus explained in John 6. It's called hidden manna in Revelation 2. The child Samuel, he grew, and God was with him. And Samuel did let none of God's words fall to the ground. He just would not let any of the words fall to the ground. What a wonderful attitude. God loved that attitude in Samuel. God blessed him because of it. Now you look into the New Testament, 1 Peter 3:15, we've referred to that verse a time or two before on this show, where Peter says that we've always got to be ready to answer, to speak up and answer any question, to discuss the hope that lies within us. We ready ourselves, we prepare ourselves in large part by the daily studies, Bible study, digging into God's word, digging into the truth of God, committing it to memory, using these precious words of wisdom, God's truth. There's a timelessness to it. It always applies. There's verses, Malachi 3, it says God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. That's over in Hebrews 13, I think it is. I was telling the Principles of Living students just this morning in class, we're going through Missing Dimension in Sex. You know, the last revision made on that book was in 1981. So we're what, 42 years on? And as I told the students, the only thing that's outdated is the chapter title, Sex in the 80s. You update some of the statistics, and then you see it's far worse, by the way. And then it just helps you appreciate all the more what Mr. Armstrong was warning about in 1981, and before that in the early 70s, and before that in the 1960s with God Speaks Out on the New Morality. It's the truth of God, after all. And if Mr. Armstrong were here today, sure, he would update some of the statistics. I mean, we're now to the point where there's homosexual marriage, and there's this push for transgenderism. There's this push for mutilating physical bodies. He'd be sounding the alarm about these developments, about these trends. But these trends, they're just an extension or an outgrowth of so many of the earlier sins that were there when the pendulum swing went from the old morality over to the other extreme, the new morality. And Mr. Armstrong said, you know, look, the old morality was not of God either. It's Satan who introduced the sense of shame with respect to sex and marriage and so on there in Genesis 3. But from going to the old morality to the new, that's like leaping from the frying pan to the fire. It's so much worse because the family, there's been a total breakdown of the family for all of the problems and the sins associated with the old morality. There were still a lot more families going back centuries that were still intact. Today, you don't see that. Today, like I was saying to the students, you don't, his title of that booklet, Why Marriage? And then underneath, remember he asked, soon obsolete? He was right. As more and more Israelites in particular opt for not marrying at all, well, why bother? What's the point? We can just live from one partner to the next. Cohabitation? I mean, that's the most common living arrangement in America. So why bother getting married? He was just spot on with all of his forecasts. And that's because he stuck to the sure word of God's truth. Bible prophecy, laws of God. Talking to the students this morning, they're reading through Alan Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind. And we had a good discussion on, you know, what this this world, the world of modern education in particular, celebrates. Openness, you know, moral relativism, everything. You want to be accepting of every lifestyle, except for someone that holds to the truth of the Bible. They're to be attacked. They're to be a target. You've got to go after them, because by going after them, you go after the Bible and you go after God. True education. I mean, you've got some moral absolutes. That's the foundation. There is such a thing as right and wrong. And we go to the Bible to find out which is which. God is the one who decides. Human beings think it's their prerogative to decide this is good, this is not good, this is evil, and this over here is righteous. We have to look to God and to His standard, and that's why we want to consume every word that we can. You think of what this church has done to try to preserve the truth of God, to go through a lawsuit for 6 years, to risk everything, to fight for mystery of the ages, to fight for God's truth. Notice Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 in verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Hear those words, those same words that Samuel, he wanted to gather them all up. He didn't want one of them to fall to the ground. "Hear those words of God." It says, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb," it says, "and as the showers upon the grass." Here we see that God's doctrine, it falls like drops of rain. His teachings, His instructions. We go to God as the great educator that He is. He's obviously our creator. He's our ruler, and He also educates us. He teaches us. He was right there in the Garden of Eden teaching Adam and Eve, giving them valuable instruction, essential instruction. He didn't give them everything, but He gave them the foundation. He pointed them to the tree of life. He said that you need this. You need the Spirit of God to complete your creation. You're incomplete now. God saw what He created in Genesis 1. It says there at the end of the chapter that everything He saw, including man and woman, He said it was very good, but as Herbert Armstrong explained, it was incomplete. Because in man, he was made with this spiritual element, the human spirit, but it needed to combine with the Holy Spirit. And that happens only after repentance and faith and the laying on of hands. In the case of Adam and Eve, He offered the Holy Spirit. He freely offered the Holy Spirit to Adam and Eve through the tree of life. But as you know from the story, Adam and Eve, they rejected the government of God. They rejected the Spirit of God. And so God then responded to that by closing off the tree of life to not just Adam and Eve, to all of mankind, except for those few that God would call out in advance of His Son's return to this earth, so that the church of God, so that the prophets of old could serve as the foundation of an ever-expanding God family. Read Ephesians 2 there at the end of the chapter. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. There is a purpose being worked out here below. And God brings us into the church not because we're His favorite people, but because He needs assistance and help. Jesus Christ needs a bride. If that union, if that family is to have billions and billions of children. We've got a book, The God Family Vision. It's a glorious, glorious vision described in so much detail. You can call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Order your free copy of The God Family Vision. Prove it for yourself. Read it together with Mystery of the Ages. God is a family. There's only a few people on this earth, precious few, that even understand that truth. Satan has blinded this world to the true gospel, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4. He's blinded this world to the truth that God is a family, that the kingdom of God is the family of God administering the government of God. It's to be headed up by Jesus Christ. So God wants to educate us according to his teachings and instructions. And that is like rain dropping from heaven. It's like the manna that the Israelites went out to gather every day. Jesus explained it all, as I say. Read John 6. Read the entire chapter of John 6. I know it's a long chapter, but it's a wonderful chapter with the miracle of the fish and the loaves, and then Jesus telling the disciples, you gather up all of the fragments, every bit of it, and the lesson that he wanted them to take away from it. Let me just read it to you. I think we have time. This is John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 26. Jesus answered. He answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Some, 5,000 people turned up. They came because they wanted the free meal. But Jesus said this. He said, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which enters unto everlasting life, it says, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him has God the Father sealed. God wants to give us everlasting life. God wants to educate us according to his divine purpose and plan. Coming back to Deuteronomy 32 here, God's truth falling from heaven like precious raindrops on parched earth. Verse 7 says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. Remember your history. Go to the fathers, go to the teachers, go to the instructors, and learn from them. You don't get this in modern education today. Far from it. I should have brought that Alan Bloom quote that we went through in class this morning. Our young people are just meant to believe that everything in the past was so evil and oppressive and headed up by men, and they caused these wars. And so we just want to get away from that entirely and create a society where anything goes, basically. Instead of learning from the past, instead of correcting the errors that our forefathers made, we want to just trash them entirely. Oh, they're just flawed and corrupt from top to bottom. There's nothing to learn from them today. I mean, we're so sophisticated and so much farther advanced than they were. Satan has deceived this world. Revelation 12, I should say. He's deceived this world. Notice verse 8, it says, when the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, set the bounds of the people, and so on. It says, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God provides for us, you see. He feeds us. He takes care of us. It says in verse 10 that he found him in a desert land, in a waste-howling wilderness, and he instructed him. He led him about, and he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. See, it's God's instruction. It's the truth of God that really sets us apart as a holy and a special people. It's not anything we do of and by ourselves. It's God and his power and the truth of God. That's what we want to put up on display. That's what we want to give glory to God for. Jesus did it. He said to people that came up to him who were amazed by the doctrine that he preached, he said, it's God's doctrine. I got it from the Father. Well, I could go on, as you well know, but I'm out of time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.